Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or Pandora, or head on over to AmericaOutLoud.com, and you will find tons of great articles and podcasts that will keep you busy for countless hours. We're excited for the show tonight. We're going to bring on once again David McGrath to talk about the conflict in Ukraine. He came on and gave us great insight on what happened in Afghanistan and the debacle that Joe Biden was in charge of, and unfortunately, the 13 dead soldiers as a result. Here in Ukraine, people don't have such high hopes for our leadership. I feel that the world can sense our weakness. We see North Korea firing missiles once again. We see China feeling emboldened. We see Russia making a move here on the Ukraine. It seems that a lot of these world leaders have clearly lost respect for the strength of America under Joe Biden's leadership. And we're looking forward to hearing what military veteran David McGrath has to say about that. But first of all, how are you doing tonight, Rob?
Andrew, I'm doing well. I also want to welcome back David McGrath, who's going to talk to us about this entire U.S.-Russia, whatever is happening there. I think that it's ridiculous, but we'll talk about it. Thank our listeners for tuning in for another show of After Dark with Rob and Andrew. And as I always say, please share the broadcast, because we see right now we're living in an environment where they want to shut people down when you don't agree with their ideology. They want to refer to your ideology as misinformation. Now, who defines misinformation? Your guess is as good as mine, but from what I see, it's big tech. Why does big tech get to define information, disinformation? Because it's on their platform. And they can shut you down whenever they want to. Look at YouTube, shutting people down. Look at Facebook. And all these characters, mind you, went to the Hill and said, oh, we don't do that. We don't shut people down. We don't agree with what they say, but yet and still they do it. So they'll probably be carted back up to the Hill to once again lie. And in my opinion, it is worthless. It is useless. It is a waste of time to have them to come there and lie in our faces, lie on TV saying that they don't do it when we know that they do it. Okay. If the senators and the congressmen aren't going to do anything about it, then don't call them up there. It's just a waste of time. It insults all of us because we know that they're doing it. What you need to do is enact a bill, get off your ducks, and say, we've got to stop this BS. Because it makes no sense. You look at Biden, he's getting ready to nominate someone to be the chairman of the FCC who does not like anyone on the right. Now, she claims, oh, I was just saying that as an activist. Well, honey, you're still an activist. What changed? You'll be an activist with more power. But as I said before, people just sit back and say nothing, going, okay, well, we'll wait and see. No, we're not going to wait and see. Look at what Biden is doing with Russia. Well, we'll wait and see if they're going to step into Ukraine, and then we're going to institute all of these provisions, and we're going to, you know, make them suffer greatly, and, you know, with our tariffs and with this. And like, really? Why don't you just do it now? Why are you waiting? Is there something that you know that we don't know? And why are you so concerned about Ukraine? Are you trying to protect Hunter Biden's interests? Are you colluding with Russia, Biden? Because you should put sanctions on them now. Let them see how it feels right now. Why wait? And why would we want to be drawn into a conflict during the dead of winter? Like, is anyone not thinking? Well, we know that Lloyd Austin isn't thinking. We know that Mark Milley isn't thinking, because they're part of the industrial complex, as we were told once before when David came on the show. But the other people, they're just looking and waiting and saying, oh, well, let's see. Meanwhile, China is like laughing, saying, come, let them go ahead and do it. And when they do, we'll just walk into Taiwan. And then you'll have, you know, the Koreans, they'll also do what they're going to do. North Korea, they'll do what they want to do. And we'll just confuse Biden completely, because he's already confused. But he's supposed to be the leader of the free world. And as I always say, he's resident Biden, who's a bumbling idiot. No, I respect the office of the president. Do not get me wrong. I respect the office of the president. I almost said I expected as much as they respected it when Trump was in office, but I respected a great deal more, okay? Because we are Americans, the greatest nation ever. We have our problems, as do other countries, as do other nations. But our biggest problem right now is the resident in the White House and his supporters, his backers, because they don't mean the country well at all. And like clockwork, he will get us involved in another conflict, a no winnable situation, and then we'll make an excuse as to why we went there. The same way he made an excuse for fumbling and bumbling up in Afghanistan when we lost 13 soldiers, and then he went back and tried to bomb the enemies, and he ended up killing children. Quiet as is kept, we just kept moving on because there was nothing to see here. Never mind the fact that he just wanted a win for 9/11. Never mind the fact that our borders are completely open. Anyone can just walk across and grab a cup of coffee. But we got to make certain that we protect Ukraine's borders. It's crucial. Really? Why? Why is it so crucial? If Germany isn't concerned about it, if Germany is saying that we're not going to give them any weapons, if Great Britain isn't concerned about it, why should we be concerned about it? I mean, really, think about it. It's in Europe. Why are we so concerned? Could it be that we're trying to protect Hunter Biden's interest? Could it be that Joe Biden is colluding with Russia? And why aren't these senators and representatives saying, Joe, what do you know that we don't know? We want to see the readout. What did you say to the president of Ukraine? Because he's saying that he told you, Joe, will you please relax? But you're on the phone screaming and yelling, oh my God, it's coming. War is coming. War, war. If Ukraine isn't concerned about it, why should we be concerned about it? Now, from what I hear, Andrew, that they have a pretty mean army, Ukraine, although they're outnumbered, but they will fight until the death. So why would we want to put our boys and girls in harm's way? And are our soldiers actually ready under Mark Milley and Lloyd Austin? Because the last time I looked, they were busy trying to decide if they should use pink fatigues or yellow. So are our men and women ready? And will they be willing to put their lives on the line for this administration? And the answer would be yes, because they know that when it's time to serve, we have to serve. But still, is it fair to them? Voting has consequences. And when you vote for a person who was hiding in the basement for a majority of the election period, who used big tech and the media to cheat for him, to keep out information from the American people about how his son was colluding with Ukraine, colluding with the Russians, colluding with China, to make a buck that turned into millions of dollars for the Biden regime. You can't win, but quiet as it's kept, that information, the American people are completely oblivious to it. Some of them don't even know what's happening. Especially in your these small states and cities, they don't have a clue. But we have a responsibility to make certain that the American people are aware of what's happening. And that is a reason why After Dark with Rob and Andrew will never shy away from these topics. That is a reason why After Dark with Rob and Andrew will bring on guests. We want to bring on guests that will talk to you about the issues, that know what's happening, so that you can be informed and make an informed decision. David, how are you tonight? Thank you for joining us.
I'm great, gentlemen. Thank you so much for having me. We last spoke during the fall of Afghanistan, and I can't believe that it's been, three or four months since the neoliberals and neocons have completely taken over our government. And here we are again. I hope that we're ready to send our children to be maimed and destroyed and have post-traumatic stress symptoms for the rest of their lives. And have suicidal thoughts and tendencies and lose 22 veterans a day, all for some country named Ukraine and its border sovereignty. So it's great. Glad to be here.
So David, so that our guests will know, you know, your background, just tell us a little bit, you know, when you served and where you served. Then we're going to get into the meat of things as to get your opinion about this entire Russia, U.S., Ukraine situation. How long were you served while you were in the military?
Sure. So I grew up, my father was a Vietnam veteran who was injured in Da Nang when he was 19 years old. He walked with a limp for the rest of his life, staunch anti-communist, one of those upbringings, you know, stand for the flag, kneel for God. I joined on September the 14th, 2001, when I was 17, and I got out in late 2019. I was in Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, couple other hotspots, always in an infantry unit, always in combat, nearly 20 years of my life. And as I sit here, you know, at 37, being a writer now, conservative, mostly conservative outlets for 10 years, I've sort of done the 180, if you will. And I'm almost always staunchly anti-war at this point, unless there's some sort of American interest that jumps right out at me. And I'm just not sure that I can find any in this Ukrainian deal outside of the fact that a very corrupt government like Ukraine made the president's son a very rich man, and politics is really about quid pro quo.
Now, that's interesting. You say that you are a soldier, and you said that you're anti-war.
Unless there is some sort of American interest, I was very pro the war in Afghanistan. In fact, I was pro leaving troops in Afghanistan indefinitely, and I've written that, and I will stand by that forever. And in fact, I'm being proved right every single day. If you stay away from the cathedral of corporate media and look for real news, you'll see that women are being beaten in the streets again. Little girls are not allowed to go to school. Men who steal are getting their hands cut off. Little boys and little girls are being used again as sexual objects like they always have been in that country. And there's no eyes on them at all to stop it. And we were there as sort of the buffer. And we had a very small footprint under the 45th president, where very little people wearing American flags on their right shoulder got injured or killed. I mean, we lost next to no one from 2016 to 2020. And we could have continued that. And that's not Dave McGrath's neocon. That's Dave McGrath's common sense. And we're not interventionalists. And I agree 100% that these countries need to stand up on their own. But you've been there now nearly 20 years. And you don't even tell the post commander at Bagram Air Force Base that you're leaving. I mean, he literally doesn't know. I mean, he's their top guy in the country who's not an American. And the way that you went out made sure that the American flag and this government was going to be shamed. I mean, it's going to take decades for this country to regain it. And I just don't think it was worth it not to have a very small footprint in that country. I mean, we were minimizing our risk and minimizing our losses to next to zero. And people were safe. So I thought it was a win-win for everybody. And don't let anybody tell you that, oh, we need to stay in these countries. I mean, my great-grandfather was in Korea in 1950. We still have American soldiers being deployed to Korea every day right now. Germany, Italy, all over the world. That's what we do. So I am staunchly anti-war. If there is no apparent American interest, I have absolutely no interest in American blood or limbs being lost so people like Liz Cheney can suck our blood and get a little bit richer. No, I have no interest in that.
Right, and you see that the march to war and how they haven't even made the case as to why we should go to Ukraine while our borders, like I said, are completely open. So why would we do it other than to protect Hunter Biden, because these people made he and his family a whole lot of money? Why would we want our soldiers to go there? And as I said, it's in the middle of winter. It is brutal.
Well, I mean, let's take stock of what the Americans are going through right now. The everyday American family like me and you and Andrew, I mean, we're looking at 20% interest rates, 7.5% inflation. We're looking at bare shelves. I'm on the East Coast. We just get hit by a blizzard. I mean, you couldn't find anything on the shelves the night before the blizzard came. The mayor of Washington, D.C. is tweeting out that people should be rationing food. We're doing legitimate, real bread lines right now in the nation's capital. We have a global pandemic to where we opened the borders and just said, come on in as long as you vote Democrat. We have vaccines that don't work, that are killing people at an incredible rate, people dropping dead from myocarditis. The last thing on anybody's mind should be a war with a superior army that no doubt will kick us, our you-know-what, up and down, back and forth, and to protect what? I mean, there is legitimately no reason you could give me, and I've seen the neoliberals like Max Booth, neocons like Dan Crenshaw try to make the case, and it's just, it's nonsensical. So the March for War is nothing more than it's going to enrich a lot of politicians, and it's going to affect nothing about what they do. It's always on the back of people like me and you, the everyday guy, and they have absolutely no connection to us. We're just another limo driver. We're just another, you know, bellboy to a latte liberal like Joe Biden and the rest of them. So, I mean, if you're in that position and you have no connection to reality, then to them, it makes all the sense in the world.
And we would send our sons and daughters out to fight for another country when we would not send them to our own borders to protect our country. And Joe seems to be completely okay with it.
You know what that is. Listen, if the border situation has nothing, American people overwhelmingly push back against Democrat policies, right? I mean, American people, the normal everyday person on the street, is not voting for Democrat policies. It's just not happening. So when you have a culture of people who are totally against your policies, you have to import new voters. So that's all that's about. Joe Biden could care less about, you know, kids being, you know, separated from their parents at the border. They could care less about any of that. What they care about is staying in power, and that's all the border opening is about.
Importing new voters, and I wish people would wake up and realize that. And as I have said so many times on the show, 30,000 Afghanistanis they have brought here. Now, if you were to take them all and put them in one location, that population would far exceed many towns in the United States. So that could be a huge voting block. Well, some would say, yeah, but they don't have the right to vote. Well, so we think they don't have the right to vote. Look at New York City. They're planning on giving illegals, well, not illegals, but resident aliens the right to vote in local elections. Now, I said not illegals, but how do I know that illegals aren't voting? So we have all of this going on in our country. And as you said, the rationing of food, we just encountered a huge blizzard on the East Coast. You have the mayor saying, oh, ration your food, be careful. Now, what you bet, they're going to use this blizzard to say that's the reason why we don't have food on the shelves. No, that's not the reason. The reason why we don't is because the supply chain problem that Buttigieg can't go in and solve. He's too busy hanging out with his partner and their new twins that they adopted, that he can't focus on that. But people are completely unaware of it. They will buy it. They will say, oh yeah, it was a blizzard. That's the reason why there's a supply chain problem. That's the reason why there aren't foods in the supermarket. No, that's not the reason. There wasn't food in the supermarkets before then. There's not food in the supermarkets because Joe doesn't know what he's doing. And neither does Buttigieg. None of them know what they're doing. But they got you thinking that they do. You have the liberal media and social media have you thinking that they do. See, they're taking your focus off of the most important thing and moving it somewhere else. Let's have a war. And people will think about the war and then we'll all be patriotic. But you don't like patriotism. So why are you trying to make people patriotic?
They like patriotism when it helps their causes. Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more with what you're saying. Obviously, it's we're trying to get people to rally around the flag here. But, you know, overwhelmingly, I see the American public rejecting this. I hope 50% of the country did vote for Joe Biden, allegedly. Most of them are dead, though, so that's good. I just see that, you know, this is going to go one of two ways. It's either going to totally sink the Biden presidency, or he's somehow going to pull this out. I'm just not sure. I mean, listen, there's a bloodbath coming in the 2022 midterms. If the Republicans retake the House, if they don't steal, which I'm not convinced of, frankly, the big conservative line is just wait till the 2022 midterms. And I don't see them relinquishing power easily. I just don't. So I don't know. If we can grab it and the Republicans can grab it, we can effectively put an end to Joe Biden's presidency. You'd have to rule by executive order. But it's not going to be before this thing breaks out. And as I wrote this week, I mean, if a real war with Russia breaks out on the Ukrainian border, it's going to make COVID-19 and the lockdowns and the loss of businesses and the loss of life, it's going to make that look like a happy memory, because it's just going to be, it's going to be a bloodbath and kicking off World War III and going to war with a country that can point nuclear weapons back at you and not be afraid to use them is a, I mean, at this point, and where this country is, where we're so deep in debt, the balance sheet of the Federal Reserve is upside down. I mean, we can't afford it. And American morale after Afghanistan is just at an all-time low. I don't have really rosy things to say to you today. I feel like we're in for some dark times here.
Well, no, we want the truth to be spoken. And that is the reason why we brought you on, because you are a soldier. You have experienced this. You have firsthand knowledge. You have seen these things. And if I'm hearing what you're saying now, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, do you not think our soldiers would be ready for a war with Russia?
Well, I mean, the rank and file guys, sure. You know, you just saw what happened in Afghanistan. Let me ask it, throw it right back to you. Do you think General Mark Milley and Lloyd Austin are ready to lead a victorious war over another superpower?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Do you think Tony Blinken is ready to lead this country against another superpower in a war?
Oh my gosh, Tony Blinken, whenever he comes out, he seems nervous and afraid. He does not exude confidence.
Tony Blinken is known as, Tony Blinken is a joke in Washington, D.C. I mean, he is known as one of the dumbest human beings. Nobody knows how he got there. He is an absolute joke in Washington, D.C. Amongst real serious people know that Tony Blinken is one of the most unserious people that you could meet in the annals of the swamp. And here he is right now as your Secretary of State, leading you into a war against a killer like Vladimir Putin. And that's another thing that I hate, guys, is that if you're against this war with Ukraine, somehow you're an agent of Vladimir Putin and you're rooting for Russia.
Yep.
That's not true. I have no interest in Vladimir Putin. I'm not angry with him, nor do I like him. I'm neutral until he does something to attack American interests. Then we have a problem. Vladimir Putin going after a country named Ukraine that I couldn't even find on a map is of no interest to me or the American people. Bottom line.
And I'm glad you said that, because if you don't support this regime, the Biden regime, and their view on Russia and march into war, it's as if though you're an agent of Putin and you're colluding with Putin and you're doing this. Well, let's just think back. When Trump was in office, we didn't have to worry about this, because Putin knew that Trump meant business as well as all these other countries. But for some reason, this is what Biden wants, so it seems. Tony Blinken does not exude confidence. He does not exude self-assurance that he can handle this. And these other two, Frick and Frack, absolutely not. Lloyd Austin, Mark Milley, I mean, they're too busy trying to be woke. Like I said, they're trying to look at what color fatigues our soldiers should be wearing. They're trying to make certain that there's diversity. They're trying to make certain that Black Lives Matter matters. When you're going to war as Colonel Julie Hall, and we've got to have her on the show as well, you're going in to destroy the enemy. You don't have time for all this other ancillary stuff. If it exists, so what? Whoop-de-doo. But we have a mission, and I don't see or feel that our boys and girls have people at the top that can lead them to success. And it's really sad. This is America. And just imagine, and I hate to imagine, if Joe stumbles and we happen upon a war with Russia. That is all China wants. We are distracted. We have the Olympics going on. As I said, we should not be going to the Olympics, but we're there, hurrah, 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 in COVID-filled China. And then Joe got us over here on a war, and then China, okay, while they're busy, let's just go ahead and do what we need to do with Taiwan. What in the heck are these people thinking? How did we get here? And 2022 cannot get here soon enough.
Yeah, I mean, I hear that said a lot. I'm not completely convinced that they won't steal it. I mean, I don't see how these people ever relinquish power without, I just don't know how it ends, frankly. But I agree, you know, it's very echoey of the 1936 Olympics in Germany. Of course, we should be sending nobody to the country that, you know, unleashed the coronavirus pandemic on us, bought up all the PPE, lied about it, and killed 800,000 Americans, got Joe Biden into power, because let's be real, if there were no mail-in voting, there was no coronavirus, Donald Trump probably would have won the election pretty handily, and we'd probably be a lot more prosperous today. So, yeah, I don't see why we're sending anybody to China, and you're right. Most conservatives and normal thinkers that I hear, they will continually tell you that Vladimir Putin is not your enemy. China and the Communist Party is your enemy. Those are the people who lock their people down in a surveillance state. They have no social media. They have, they chain people into their houses. They make journalists disappear. They make sports people disappear. They live in a total fascist surveillance state, and they have a plan to be the number one superpower in the world. And Joe Biden, Anthony Blinken, Mark Milley, the Lincoln Project supporter, Lloyd Austin, masquerading as a general, and everybody else involved in that flack is handing the United States and the superpowers over to communist China as we speak. So, and that's why Joe Biden's there, because he was the perfect flunky to manage the decline of this country. And that's why Donald Trump had to be a racist, xenophobe, homophobe, and just about every other phobe under the sun, because he wasn't going to hand it over to communist China. And he had to go for that. He absolutely had to go. And no matter how they could do it, if 800,000 ballots had to come in overnight in Arizona, if a toilet had to clog in Atlanta and stop the voting for 3 hours, then that's the way that it had to be to install somebody like Joe Biden. So, and if you think about the world in those terms, everything that's happened, it's sort of justifiable if you think about the world in those terms, which the Communist Party seems to think of it in those terms in America.
Yeah, well said. It's so sad that so many people in our country can see what's happening right in front of them, but they're so blinded by hatred of Donald Trump that they just won't accept it. Well, you're tuned into After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows. We'll be back with more After Dark with Rob and Andrew with our special guest, David McGrath.
In 2008, the amount of concentrated time people could spend on a task without becoming distracted was 12 seconds. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds, 1 second less than a goldfish. If you find yourself always distracted or having trouble recalling information, you're likely to fall behind in the demanding, fast-paced 21st century. In other words, brain performance is more critical now than ever. Boost your brain power with Healthy Cells Focus Plus Recall. Science-backed nootropics to sharpen focus, concentrate longer, enhance recall, improve mental speed, learn rapidly, and be more alert. It's a pill-free brain supplement made with maximum absorption technology designed to feed our brains at the cellular level. Take it for a test drive. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Focus Plus Recall. That's HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Let's get real. Let's get loud. On America Out Loud Talk Radio, this is McCullough Report. Are you tired of your tired vitamins? Consider Healthy Cell. These are pill-free vitamins that are in convenient gel packs. I like the Focus and Recall supplement. I use this a lot. You know, your brain uses a lot of energy and it depends on a variety of micronutrients and vitamins. Boost your short-term focus and long-term brain power with Healthy Cells Focus and Recall Vitamins. So go to HealthyCell.com, use the code OUTLOUD, all capital letters, OUTLOUD, for a 20% off your first order of any Healthy Cell product. Let's get real, let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
As Americans, we seek to form a more perfect union. To paraphrase Abraham Lincoln, we are a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And God willing, we shall not perish from the earth. AmericaOutLoud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
We're back with After Dark with Robin Andrew and our guest, David McGrath. And we're talking about the conflict between the U.S. and Russia. And I'm not necessarily convinced that it is a conflict. It's more so of Joe trying to protect some type of interest of his son, or just trying to distract, rather, a deflection almost, as to what's happening here in America. And unfortunately, many Americans are following right along with him. And as I've been saying on many of our shows, it is really unfortunate and sad that more people aren't in tune to what's actually happening in the country. But if you're not part, if you don't live in one of the big states and big cities, you're completely left out as to what's actually going on, because you're getting most of your news from fake news CNN. And they're spinning and spinning and spinning, as well as PMS, MSNBC, they're spinning. And also, I've noticed, Andrew, is that a lot of people go to yahoo.com for their news. And they can be rather biased, and they will cherry pick information from the different liberal outlets that are there, and they will present it to you. Now, I'm not saying you can't read that stuff for entertainment. Every so often, I will turn over on CNN for entertainment purposes only, especially when Chris Cuomo was there. He was rather entertaining. Anderson Cooper can be entertaining at times, as well as Don Lemon. Watching them pontificate as if they're on some type of dais and they're like, you know, preaching fire and brimstone. Then you have Rachel Maddow. She likes to pontificate as well, in between exaggerating the truth. Lawrence O'Donnell, who thinks he's very self-righteous. So what we have here are individuals that aren't being truthful. And a lot of Americans are listening to these people. And it's scary, because we should still be talking about, as I said, the 13 soldiers who lost their lives in Afghanistan. Look how long we talked about George Floyd. Now, what happened to George Floyd is unfortunate. No one should die that way. But he's certainly not a martyr. He's certainly not a hero, and he's certainly not a civil rights icon. I don't care what the left tells you, he's not a civil rights icon, okay? We should be spending more time talking about the police officers who have lost their lives in the line of duty because they were ambushed by members of the radical party. Let's just be truthful and speak truth to power. But when you talk about it, you have the left wanting to tell you that that's misinformation. And that's just wrong. And we've spoken about that on a couple of our shows as well. And we have got to, at some point in time, tackle that issue, because this is not disinformation. This is the information. It is the information that we need to be concerned with. We need to know that what's happening right now in Ukraine is none of our damn business. I'm just going to be frank with you. This is After Dark with Robin Andrew. And if you can't handle that word, then I'm sorry. Turn it off. But that's none of our business. We should not be sending our men and women over there. We need to focus here. And for one, we need to rebuild our army. Because Joe and his minions, Lloyd Austin and Mark Milley, they've just siphoned so much money away from it. But now they have an idea. This is how we're going to make ours whole again. This is how we're going to make money with the industrial complex, We're going to go in and we're going to create all these scenarios and, oh, they're doing this and we've got to protect this. We've got to protect that. And it's for the safeguard of all these things. But what for? How is this going to help America? How are we going to protect our own borders? And are we ready? And I was watching the news the other day and they were talking about all the different forts around the country that they're putting on alert. If I had a child there, if I were a military family, I would be crying right now and afraid that the person, the resident in the White House, is going to make the wrong move. No, maybe his generals, maybe the his Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, and Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Miley, they're going to counsel him and give him some advice, but he won't listen. And we also got to remember that it was Robert Gates, the 22nd, I think, Secretary of Defense, who came out and said that Joe Biden has been wrong on all foreign issues for the past decade or so. He has been wrong. Joe Biden, who's now supposedly the commander in chief, has been wrong. Now, the media tries to dress that up and say, oh, no, but, you know, they just had a difference of opinion. No, Joe Biden has been wrong. And I would venture to say that he is wrong in this situation. He is leading us to slaughter. I hate to say it, but let's just be honest. We have no interest in Ukraine. Ukraine is a corrupt country. I think the president was a comedian at one point. Granted, he might have changed his lifestyle. I don't know. It can happen. Look at Donald Trump. He was a TV personality. He became the president and a fantastic leader of the free world. Now we have sleepy Joe Biden, who half the time doesn't know if he's going or coming, was on the world stage looking very embarrassing, doesn't even know Lloyd Austin's name at times, can barely pronounce Mark Miley's name at times, has a vice president that he apparently sent to the border to check it out and to clean it up, and she's yet to do that. But she claims, oh, I've never been to Europe either. Oh, she's one with the jokes. And the media aren't calling them out, aren't saying we should be afraid. Now, remember, when Trump was in office, everybody was lamenting, oh, we're going to be in war with North Korea. We're going to be in war with Russia. We're going to be in war with this and this and that. It never happened. Trump defused all of it. Fast forward, 2020. Failed Afghanistan withdrawal. 13 soldiers killed. Women and children killed when they tried to attack. Border crisis. Supply chain problem. Segregation forming in the country. Racism, thanks to the left. All types of contention. Look at the crime in the country. But we can't send the troops to Chicago to solve it because Mary Lightfoot thinks that she has her finger on the pulse. On the pulse of what? You're more like you have your finger on the trigger and you're just killing people. Our country is gradually falling down. But yet and still, we can fly over to Ukraine and help them out. Oh, yes, we got to go there. And we're going to send our folks to China so that they can complete in the Olympics. And they can come back and say, well, look at we, whoop-de-doo, look at who we are. Look at where we are. But are you really concerned? And as David said, the only time they want to use patriotism is when it benefits them. When they can make people think, oh, this is a time. But any other time, take the American flag out back and burn it. How can our soldiers go to a foreign land with a sense of pride, knowing that, hey, my country has my back? No, they'll go and they'll want to believe that. But in their heart of hearts, is it true? Knowing all the chaos that we have here, knowing that if they come back, we're going to look at them in disdain, the way we look at police officers. And who is this thanks to? Joe Biden. But again, people are completely oblivious to it. 2022 can't get here quick enough. And as David said, do not doubt that they will try to lie, steal, and cheat. Because remember, Joe said just the other day that if they don't pass the Voters' Rights Act or bill, that he's uncertain if the elections were fair. He's uncertain if everyone was able to vote. Never mind the fact that he got 80,000 votes, so they say. never mind the fact that the only way he won South Carolina was because of the Black vote, never mind the fact that Black women helped him cross over the finish line, and of course, big tech and the media, they helped him also with their lies and suppressing information. And then you had all these other states that were allowing judges to render decisions, which is unconstitutional because it's supposed to be the legislative branch. But never mind that, because we were told, oh, everything was fine and dandy. So if he's going to say that now, that if we don't pass this act, this bill, the election of 2022 is going to be questionable, just imagine when we do have the election and the different states do decide to stand up and say, oh, no, no mail-in ballots. You either show up or you don't vote. Just imagine the chaos. And of course, they're going to tell Black people, oh, they don't want you to vote. Yeah, but you voted once before. What's the problem now? Or could it be that they just don't want to vote because they don't like what they see at the polls? Stacey Abrams, oh, they're going to vote for me because they love me. No, Stacey, maybe they don't love you. You love yourself more than they do. Everything that's happening right now is a distraction. And if they can distract us long enough that we get to the 2022 election, they'll be able to sell us anything. Meanwhile, our boys and our girls are out in a war that they shouldn't be in. We can't allow this to happen. We cannot allow this to happen. Joe could care less. And I don't even think Joe is running things, Andrew, when you look at it. I don't even know if Susan Rice is running things because she's hidden somewhere. It could be Jill for all we know. We know that it's not Kamala because she's too busy turning up the bottle, so it seems. But this is where we are in this country. And it is sad, very sad. So David, I want you to talk just a little bit about the industrial complex. You explained it to our listeners before when you were on a few months ago. But I want you to explain it to them again, what they have to gain out of going to war, and why to them, putting our men and women, it's like, oh, okay, it's not mine. I don't have a dog in this. I'm just looking at the money. So could you explain that to our listeners again, please, sir?
The biggest miscarriage of just about any kind of thing I've ever seen in my life, I'm trying to phrase it correctly here. The biggest thing that happened to this country was money, and businesses were able to pluck generals out of the army and make them CEOs like immediately. Like every one of these generals, like Mark Milley, will be sitting on a board at some company, you know, after their retirement, that stands to make a lot of money from going to war. Companies like Raytheon, you know, General Dynamics. My last deployment in Afghanistan, we had a General Dynamics outpost right next to us. So they would fly all their new gadgets and, you know, make, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars a month to be over there and test stuff. It was just wild. What happens is these generals, you know, make good in their career, and then they go and take those jobs as CEOs and board members, and they get money to start new wars, right? So they enrich themselves because the money is in the production of weapons, vehicles, food, just about everything you could think of, with the construction of new, places for troops to live overseas, bullets. I mean, you name it, it comes from four or five companies, and that's it. And they're all staffed by retired generals. So just like anything else in life, you follow the money. So the money gets put into their pockets post-military career. And these young Joes have to bear the brunt of an incredible amount of deployments to enrich very few. And they have the politicians in their back pockets, because most of these guys just came from the Joint Chiefs of Staff, like Lloyd Austin, who is our current commander of the military, just below Joe Biden. And what was he? He was a Raytheon board member after he left the military. And he was not known as a guy who could get things done. He was the guy who failed in Iraq under Barack Obama, which created the caliphate, that created ISIS, who killed, you know, hundreds of American soldiers after we left. So it really comes down to American generals and politicians get cozy with these companies that create things that go to war, that you take to war with you, and they put all the profits in their pockets while your kids bear the brunt. Just tomorrow, I have to go to the VA hospital, another round of appointments to tell me, you know, if I'm going to be in a wheelchair in 10 years. My brain, from so many explosions, my doctor tells me, I don't know if I'm going to be able to read a story to your kids, you know, 10 years from now. And listen, that's no hero stuff. That's the real reality of what war is. But there's none of these rich people have any idea about that. There's a major disconnection. And my story isn't any different than any, there's a hundreds of millions of those like that, right? There's like around 800,000 soldiers that go to war every year for the past 20 years while we were at war on two fronts. So the industrial complex in a nutshell is these companies are staffed by former military, politicians, staff members from congressmen, and they all make an incredible amount of money for your kids to go overseas, get maimed, lose legs, you know, have traumatic brain injuries. Some of them even get killed. And at the end of the day, none of that matters because the way they look at you is you are the lower. They are your better. And our ruling class will always look at you as just an ATM machine to keep sucking up the money. Your taxes pay for their fun little projects, and your blood and your limbs pay, you know, for Nancy Pelosi's latest mansion in Florida. Nancy Pelosi's salary has been public record for the past six decades, $215,000 and $249,000 a year. That's the most she ever made. The lowest she ever made was $215,000. She's an estimated net worth of $315 million. How did that happen? It happens through things like this: back corner deals, money being put in the pockets to push agendas. And right now, the agenda they're pushing is the Ukrainian war. And that's for nothing else other than it's going to enrich a lot of people who come from power. And that's more than anything we've talked about tonight, the misdirection. And I'm sure that some of that is a part of it. Listen, they want you to look over here. They want you to look over here as the country falls into ruins. And, you know, there's going to be a Super Bowl in California in 2 weeks. And they're going to have to figure out how to move 500,000 homeless people off the streets of one of the most beautiful states in our entire country, right? Because they're just living in the streets. That's stuff that doesn't even happen in third world countries. And we're doing it in our greatest state, in California. And they want you to forget about all of that and focus on the boogeyman, Vladimir Putin, because it's going to make Joe Biden's family very rich. It's going to ensure that Joe Biden's great-granddaughter has a nice mansion. And who really cares if Dave gets hurt, because Dave and Rob and Andrew are the son of auto mechanics, and who cares what they think, because they probably vote conservative anyway, right? I mean, that's just how these people think.
You really did say a mouthful there. And I wish people would be aware as to how our soldiers are actually viewed by those in the upper ranks. They just see them as individuals that's going to go there, do the fighting, while they make the money. And we've spoken about this before, how these characters like Lloyd Austin and Mark Milley, they'll leave public life and then go join some big board as a CEO and continue to bring in money. Meanwhile, the folks who are out there actually fighting the wars, who were maimed, suffering from post-traumatic syndrome, stress, what do they get? Absolutely nothing. Do they get big payouts? We're more willing to give people like George Floyd's family millions and millions of dollars, as opposed to individuals that are fighting for our freedom. They're fighting so that we have the right to have freedom. They get absolutely nothing. They return home. People aren't thankful for their service. They look at them with a cross eye. But when it's time to go to war, Joe is quick. Oh, let's activate this unit. Let's activate that unit. And seemingly not even care about, wait, you're putting someone's child in harm's way. And that's one of the things that I really admire about President Trump. He thought long and hard about it. Like, wait a minute. He's like, I want to end this. You don't have to agree with everything that he did, but the man did think. I don't know what Joe Biden is doing besides just trying to protect Hunter Biden, trying to deflect from all of his failures, like immediately rushing us into something that we have no business being in. And as David said, people like himself, he's got to go to the VA hospital to find out if he's going to be able to walk within a decade's time or read to his children, his sons. Who's concerned about him? Who's concerned of the fact that he went and put his life on the line, put his life on hold to fight for our country? And now he's back. And it's like, okay, yeah, he served in the military. Okay, yeah, right, whatever. But we can see this with our eyes now. And to me, David, that is a thing that is so, I look at TV and I see the stories of these soldiers that are coming back, maimed without a leg, burned without an arm, laying up in Walter Reed's hospital, and so many other things. Now, when we think about the Civil War, it's like it's so far removed. We don't think about, wait, some of those soldiers probably encountered what we see now that our soldiers are encountering. And this all started back with the Iraq War. Now, yeah, there was a Vietnam War. The soldiers came back. We heard the horror stories. But now we can see it. We are living witnesses as to how this affects families. It affects the lives of people who went there whole, and then they're coming back maimed. And then we're so quick to want to put them back out there in the front lines for a country that, like, what are we concerned with? And just for the industrial complex, for these guys to make a name for themselves? Oh yeah, we're going to have a charity, we're going to give to people. Yeah, but a life has been forever changed. And what for? Why would we go there? What are we looking for? We're not concerned about our borders. Why should we be concerned with theirs? If Europe is a concern, again, why should we be concerned? But we're willing to risk it all. I mean, I thank you, David, for your service. Like you said, your father even served, and then you to serve. And you see what's happening now. What are your fellow soldiers? Have you spoken to any of them? Have they called out? Because I remember you saying once that you reached out to some of the guys who had served in the war, and you told them, hey, if you ever need someone to talk to, it's like a brotherhood. Please feel free to call and to talk to me. So what are you hearing them say when they see what Joe Biden is doing as a whole, as a seemingly commander in chief? What are their thoughts?
Well, anybody who follows me on Twitter knows that I'm pretty plugged into what's going on present day. I'm not very disconnected. I only left a year and a half ago. So the veteran suicide hotline after Afghanistan was so inundated with calls from distressed veterans that they actually shut down for the first time in 20 years because they didn't have enough people to answer the calls. Think about that. And when the bodies were cold or still warm coming off the bird, Joe Biden didn't even have the common decency to take off his little obedience mask or not look at his Rolex. That's what he thinks of you. David Marola, a man that I'm in constant contact with, his brother was one of the ones killed. He hasn't heard word one from Joe Biden or Kamala Harris to talk about his brother's death or why he had to die. And that goes for a lot of other families that I'm in constant contact with. That said, you know, a lot of veterans are much like me. I think I speak for a lot of the veteran community. They're disenfranchised. You know, when this regime took over, there were constant news stories about how National Guardsmen who were working the Joe Biden's inauguration might turn around and kill him. If you don't believe me, Google it. There were real writers on real networks, on real outlets, including congressmen, who are openly saying that. That's what they think of you. Again, that's what these people think of you. And right now, I mean, this military needs decades to recover from fighting a war on two fronts in Iraq and Afghanistan, never mind the small things that would come up, like Syria and Niger, where we lost a good amount of guys under Donald Trump. We did. There's a lot of different fronts that people don't even realize that we were in, that were terror hotbeds, like, you know, Jordan and Thailand and places like that. But anyway, the current community is just, you know, they've been so beaten down by vaccine mandates, by Black Lives Matter PowerPoints, by political purity tests, that the good ones who really thought for themselves are all gone. And what you have now is a military that will obey the older ones and the younger ones who are guys are like, listen, I'll take whatever I can get just to get in and make a life for myself, which I will never in a million years tell you is a bad thing. If you guys knew me 1 year ago, I would encourage everybody to go into the service. And I tell my own sons that you're going to do something to serve someone else before you go to college or you expect anything from me, like the Red Cross or the military or something like that. But I don't know if I could give my boys over to this military right now. I probably wouldn't. I would discourage that because Joe Biden and his people are bound to get you killed. And if you don't believe me, ask Dave Marola or Nicole G or Max Soviak or any of those guys who got killed in Afghanistan in late August, where Soviak's daughter was born not even a month later with just a picture of her father next to her, next to the bedside. Why? So Joe Biden could politically posture on 9/11. I mean, it just, the question of why, it continues to come back and back and back. And that's the main thing I hear from the current military. And anyone listening to this now who's a soldier or is distressed, then I suggest you find me on Twitter at DaveMcGrath11B. And I give a lot of updates about what's going on. I believe I was the first person to tweet that the 8,500 soldiers were alerted. Most of them come from my old unit at Fort Bragg in North Carolina, the 82nd Airborne Division, which is on high alert right now to be anywhere in the world in 24 hours, including the border of Ukraine and Russia, where they will meet probably a bloodbath and it'll be rough sledding for them. And I trust them implicitly to win, but I believe there's 100,000 troops from Russia who are not vaccinated, who don't get subjected to Black Lives Matter PowerPoints or Lincoln Project PowerPoints, who are taught to do only one thing, which is win wars against foreign adversaries. And right now we are not taught that. We are taught that there's 27 genders, pronouns, men can have long nails, paint their nails, whatever they want to do, and do whatever you want to do in your life. I am no one to tell you. And I truly don't care. I'm much more of a classic liberal than I am a strict conservative. That being said, it needs to stay away from the greatest institution that the world knows, and that's the United States military, because your only job is to protect the people of the United States and beat our enemies by any means. And right now, we're not ready for that. Everyone knows it. We're going to lose a major war, and it's going to make the last 2 years of hell that we've lived through look like happy memories. I can promise you that.
Well said, David. So many distractions here in our country for our soldiers and our troops, and weak leadership on top of it makes a bad situation. David, thank you for joining us. What's the best place people can go to find all of your work?
I write so many different places, but you can find my link tree at David McGrath, my name, 11B, B as in Bravo, on Twitter. DMs are wide open, soldiers, anybody, lots of people have reached out to me in the past, say, 6 months. And I'm always here, breadth of experience in that one area. So anybody who's out there right now, who's feeling the weight of it, then come see me. And I'm always around and available any time of night. I have a 2-year-old, so I might feel like I'm up 24 hours a day. So I'm always here. David McGrath, 11B.
Thank you, David. We appreciate you joining us. And thank you all for joining us tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Check us out and all the other shows over at AmericaOutLoud.com. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcast, or wherever you download your podcast. We'll see you guys next time. And remember, stand for something or you will fall for nothing.